둘, 셋, 파!
For Hey Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org. Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks as always for making your way here, for checking out the series. Please do hit that subscribe button while you're hanging around. You'll get three new interviews sent to you every single week. That's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover those new ones. You can grab us at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Don't forget to give the series a rating, leave a review. That always helps out so much. We've had some great guests on lately, too. Luke Hemmings of 5 Seconds of Summer. Actor Nick Robinson was here to talk about starring with Millie Bobby Brown in Damsel. Tom Payne, he's in Imaginary and the upcoming Horizon, the American Saga. Joe Keery of Stranger Things fame, back with new music. We talk with Neil Finn of Crowded House. Paul Sung-Yung Lee about Avatar, The Last Airbender, and Jasmine Cephas Jones. She's back with new music as well. Just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, director Johan Rindsch. We're going to be talking about the movie Spaceman, starring Adam Sandler and Carey Mulligan. It's out now on Netflix. Beautiful film about an astronaut on a solitary research mission to the edge of the solar system who is visited by a mysterious spider creature from the beginning of time, voiced by Paul Dano. He finds hiding in the bowels of the ship. Johan's going to discuss how he understands now this isn't a movie for everyone, and he has no interest in making anything feel too mainstream, but also taps into the zeitgeist of loneliness felt throughout the film. And he'll tell us about how he saw a lot of himself within the script's reflection of vanity and narcissism as well. Johan's then going to talk about directing Adam Sandler and Carey Mulligan, as well as some of his iconic music videos. He did Bowie's final videos, Black Star and Lazarus. He did a video for one of my favorite of all time, Chris Cornell's Can't Change Me. I'm going to ask about all of those and a whole lot more as we dig into the movie Spaceman, out now on Netflix. It's Kyle Meredith with Johan Rindsch. Well, first, it's a pleasure to meet you, Johan. And
likewise, Kyle.
Yeah, Spaceman, beautiful movie. Gut-wrenching movie. I think everything that I want out of a flick these days, you've accomplished on this. So the easy place to start to say congratulations.
Well, that's good. I mean, that's great. It is a film that I found, you know, in terms of people, you know, throughout the time and when people see this film, is that it's like, you know, one of those films that you either really take to because you it's sort of kind of modeled for something that works with you. But if not, it's hard to get into, I think, you know, because it has a, you know, it's not a science fiction film in its traditional means. It's not, you know, it has all the absurdist sides to it and stuff like that, that I've, you know, come to realize is like, okay, that's interesting. So for me, it's like, you know, a lot of people that are like-minded to me, they love the film and they really get it, blah, blah, blah. But then every now and then you have a conversation with somebody and it's like, I just, you know what, I just don't get it. What's, you know, what's the deal? Why is it, why a spider? And so on and so forth, you know? So it is, it is what it is. It's fun.
That's what's great, right? Because
oh, yeah.
Not every movie needs to be for every person. Not every song needs to be for every person.
100%. No, no, I couldn't agree more with you. And I'm like very much that type of person, you know. I mean, I see, I look at the wall behind you, you know, and you think of like, you know, if I take the music that I listen to is sort of really diminutive in the bigger scope of things. And this is not it's not by choice, but I do not listen to music that belongs in the top 40. That's not for me at all. I just don't. It's, I never have, and I never will. And it's not because it is on the top 40, but I'm looking for music, books, films that take my experience to a place it hasn't been before. And that means that it's not done like in paint by numbers. It's not done in any, with any kind of conventional vernacular or anything like that. It's, these are, you know, it's the arts, for lack of a better word, and they are there to be. I like to lean forward. I like to be immersed by it, and I like to feel shit through it. Otherwise, I'm not interested. So that's what it is, basically.
Yeah, right. And similarly, you know, of course, Prince, Bowie, REM, Depeche Mode have songs in the top 40. What I always loved, and I'm using this compliment to you as well, is their songs that would usually make the top 40 still were challenging in some way. They figured out how to ride that line. This is still a movie that I would recommend to people to find their own, you know, make their own decision on that. But I would wholeheartedly recommend anybody, you know, because of how I feel about it.
No, but you're absolutely right. And you know, I'm you know, my being categorical in the way I just would. Of course, you know, like, you know, the Depeche Mode has had, and not, you know, all these artists, like you say, have had a number of top 40 songs. And so maybe I'm talking about it in a more kind of sure, you know, conceptual form. But yes, I agree. You know, and I think like the dream is for me. Sometimes you obtain it, sometimes you don't. But for me, it's like I don't see a. There's no conflict between the idea of something being really good, really properly good, and also commercially viable. There's no conflict in that. And I have no, you know, zero, you know, to me, it's like that's the most difficult thing you can do, you know, to make a very square, massive box office kind of thingy, paint by numbers kind of thingy. Costs a lot of money, it's a lot of hard work, but it's a pretty straightforward thing to do. And on the other hand, to do like a full-on art house film in which you don't have to give a shit about anything, you know, more than having, you know, whatever is tickles your fancy at the moment. Obviously, it's challenging by its own nature. So, but the most difficult thing ever is like those films that people have made that are both tremendously good and commercially viable at the same time. You know, that is like, that's catching lightning in a bottle, and it's also the most difficult thing you can do, I believe, you know.
Right. And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Johan Renk. Well, I will say, you know, so many things I do love about this. Coincidentally, I was doing an interview even earlier today with Dave Wakeling from the English Beat, and he was asking me if I see themes when I talk to people, especially musicians. And I said, what I see and hear are people starting to talk about space, the universe, looking up into the sky. And I had my own theories about that, you know, whether it's escaping everything that we have around here or loneliness in a lonely time. And I find those themes in here. There is loneliness, there is depression, you know, and there is escape. This is the easy throwback to you, but what was it you wanted to say about these things? And what was it ultimately? Why did you want to make this movie?
Wow, English Beat, they're still around. I used to be a massive kind of two-tone ska fan back in the late 70s, early 80s. You know, I saw both Madness and Specials and the Beat and Selector and all those bands back then. So that's cool to start out with. I'm exactly like you. I'm really fascinated by this kind of mercurial sort of zeitgeisty themes that can be ongoing at any moment. You know, like I agree with you. Many times I feel like when I start being interested in something of the kind that you're describing, that means like, oh, something is happening. You know, there's a reason I'm getting interested in this. And I've been tremendously fascinated by space, not in any scientific form, but more like the mysteries of it and the unfathomable kind of, you know, the aspects of it that are, you know, you cannot wrap your head around it. So I've been turning that way a lot. And I've been, you know, even before Spaceman, being sort of deeply going into anything by obsessing about Brian Cox, who's this kind of British astronomer who's this really charming, sweet, who also used to be a musician, actually, really amazing guy, but who has all these kind of beautiful poetic thoughts about space and, as of being an astronomer. So when this film came to me, it was right after Chernobyl. And weirdly enough, I just, you know, doing Chernobyl was always like science fiction to me. I really saw it as a science fiction. It kind of functioned in the kind of with the science fiction sort of as the you know, the plot device of it all was this kind of science fiction element. But doing that, you know, for me, the interest of doing science fiction again was none, you know. But when the Spaceman script came to me, Michael Parrott, who sort of optioned the book and who produced the movie and developed the film from the early start, he sent it to me, and you know what I took to me was not at all the science fiction at all. It was that it was a story very much about me. You know, it starts there to some extent. You know, it's a story about how ambition and vanity and narcissism even has a price in terms of the relationships you're having with people around you and so on and so forth. But also not only because you're an arrogant dick, but also because, like, for me, for instance, which, you know, it's always hard to relay until you can have somebody understand it. I do what I do because I have no choice. It's like the scorpion and the frog. It's in my nature. It's like I'm like a priest. My job is a calling to me, you know. Since I was 5 years old, I've never been employed. The only thing I've ever done is try to translate my own emotions into something tangible so that other, you know, in order to make myself understood, I guess, to other people. And they hear, see, listen to what I've done, and I go, like, I still don't get this guy, and I keep doing it again and again, you know. But so this one, you know, dealt with that to some extent, you know, because I understand Jakob Prochaska in this film. I understand his you know, his curiosity about the Chopra cloud, his sort of, you know, the ambition of doing this solo journey and being away from the planet and being away from everything for 1 year in order to kind of unravel some mystery of the universe. I understand him, but I also understand Lenka, who has this guy who's obviously, you know, has arrogance and, you know, vanity and refuses to see her to the extent he should, you know. I mean, he keeps, you know, she says to him, like, you know, when he says, like, I'm just going to do this last thing, and she says, like, you keep on saying that, you know, because that's who I have been in very many shapes and forms before, you know. So I don't know, I'm harping on here, but that was kind of what captured me on the onset. You know, that was the first thing that grasped me. And the second thing was that it had such beautiful, you know, there was something as a filmmaker. I very much like, you know, the visual aspects of filmmaking and you know, visual storytelling. I like music and images to help out to create something that we kind of want to plunge into and so on and so forth. So like anything, any material that kind of has some of that in it will interest me. Part of me would just want to go, I immediately see how we're going to do this, where we're going to put our cameras and so on and so forth. And then the last thing, which is the very practical thing of it, is like, I like when things are really difficult. My favorite feeling to be in when I'm working is like to have no idea what I'm doing, basically. And my least favorite feeling is like when I'm painting by numbers, because I've done it a million times before, you know. Yeah. And for me to deal with zero gravity, you know, CGI character, you know, to deal with, you know, this sort of primordial monster who has the ability to kind of ride your memories with him. None of that is straightforward, and a lot of it felt like almost completely impossible to do. So that also went like, okay, so we got to do this. We got to figure this out. This is fun, you know.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Johan Renk.
Well, and it looks amazing. I mean, the way everything's a little bit lower tech than what you'd imagine on a space movie, but really those emotions, like, and of course I should ask, you know, to have Adam Sandler, who has shown immense range over the past few decades, but to keep him, his character, in this state of confusion and depression, what was it like directing him and your all's relationship with this character?
Let me ask you your first thing a little bit first there, actually, in terms of the lower tech. If you find yourself alone at home and you're going to be alone for 1 year, what would you find easiest to repair if it breaks down? Your iPad or your very sort of diesel-driven mechanical lawnmower? You know what I mean? So the idea was always like, we have to have an analog spaceship where everything is not covered behind panels or anything like that. It has to be exposed so that you can easily track and find whatever is wrong, and you can fix it with your own hands and a screwdriver or whatever it is, you know. So the idea of like people talking about like, why shouldn't this be way more, you know, high tech? And it's like, no, well, it's a solo journey, and no, it shouldn't. You know, by the fact that it's a solo journey, it needs to be as analog as it possibly can be. So that's one side of that. Anyways, in terms of Adam, Adam, you know, I met him on a general meeting with, like you do as a director, you meet actors to just like shoot some shit and see if anything happens. And I had a general with him. I really want to meet him because I'm a big fan of him as an actor. You know, there's aspect of Punchdrunk Love that is like the greatest performance I've ever seen, and there's aspects of Uncut Gems that feel the same to me. And you know, to me, it is like something about being a comedian in more serious roles is very, very compelling, because there is something about how these funny people, when they are deprived of their ability to be funny, becomes very, very vulnerable and naked. You know, so that's one side of it, and the other side of it is that comedians are the ballsiest of all actors. They have zero fear of anything. They can have a stand-up show about, you know, I don't even know, fucking blisters in their asshole, and they can openly talk about these guys and be self-deprecating and completely expose themselves. They have no fear of being ugly or pathetic or whatever it is, you know. It's inherent in their performative stick, so to speak. And I worked with a lot of actors who, you know, you can have an idea of a scene and you can propose it, and you can see the actor go like, no, I don't really feel comfortable with that. That doesn't really, and it could be, you know, that fear can come from a lot of places. Maybe that they don't know how to do it. Maybe that they feel foolish, whatever. But Adam was zero fear all the time. You know, he'll do, you know, he'll go full on, full, you know, balls in on, balls out, maybe is what you say in your language, on anything, because he has no fear. He lets go of any kind of railing and all that. And he's a true film lover, and he's a true kind of artist in the sense of like going to the point where we need to go with him, you know. And for me as a European also, kind of I'm not a big fan of like, you know, big movements in performances. I like performances to be subtle and kind of authentic, to be honest. You know, like you and me are talking rather than having any kind of theatricalness of it. I just don't like that at all. And it just felt also like in a movie like this that we need this to be so real and so bare and so vulnerable. And it was just like Adam had no, you know, again, if you compare him, for instance, with Carey Mulligan, who's like a, you know, on one hand, obviously a raw talent, but also tremendously technical. You know, she's like, there's nothing she can't do. And, you know, like that, she does it, you know. Whereas Adam is a little bit of a different animal, you know. He is very good at tapping into whatever, you know, extremely good at tapping into the emotional state he needs to be in. And he has his own methods of doing that, but it works so effectively. And then he has this other thing that it's hard to kind of point out, but he's so profusely watchable. And there's something with his eye, you know, I just kept on going closer with the camera, just move in. I just want something with these big brown eyes and these subtle little micro eye movements, and how his inner life and his psychology are just sort of manifested in the his eyes that is so effective and powerful. And that, you know, I would say to him, like, what, you know, he said, like, what do you want me to do here? You don't have to do anything. Just do that eye thing, I would say. Like, what eye thing? Just do what you're doing. There's something, you know, when you're being apprehensive, or if you're being scared or insecure, you just do it all through your eyes. And I don't fucking know you do that, but that's what I like, and that's what I want, you know. And he does that. So he's a joy to work with. He's a beautiful, beautiful human being and a great actor, massive film lover. You know, he's like, you know, he's royalty basically in the world of American actors. But it's also so personable, so wonderful to deal right. with, and adventurous and all that. So I could not have wished for a better partner in all of this than him.
I know I've only got a couple minutes here. I wanted to quickly say, because of your world in the music videos and those moments where the pig's floating and where Carrie's floating, and I feel like I'm in a music video at those points, but to also say that you have directed some of my favorite of all time, Chris Cornell's Can't Change Me. I've seen hundreds of times. And of course, it's got to be some kind of kismet, if not coincidence, that you directed the original Spaceman. And here you are doing this again.
No, but I mean, isn't that how it works in life? That we hear the serendipity of how one thing leads to another in some strange fashion. Yeah, no, he is the original spaceman without a doubt. We would talk about that in terms, Adam would say, like, Adam is a massive music lover also, and a talented one out at also. He would say, like, hey, man, don't you think Bowie would have dug this movie? And I said, like, you know what? I actually think he would. There is something about it that I think he would have responded to. But yeah, I mean, you are a product of your own, of your own sort of journeys in all sets. I'm a musician myself. I used to be a recording artist in the, 30 years ago. Music is an important part of me. For some reason, images have always been something that I found very compelling. So that I got into this from, leaving music to start putting images to other people's music. I mean, that was the first step for me to well, and that's when I really started to realize that this is what I actually want to do. I mean, if I was as talented and brilliant as I wanted to be in music, I would be keep on doing music, but I wasn't. I could write a good song, but not, I was not brilliant. I was good, but not brilliant. And that wasn't working for me. But then I kind of fell into the film of it all and understood that you're working with, very similar tools, but in a slightly different capacity. And I saw through that matrix much better than I saw through the matrix of music. I played guitar my whole life. If you would, some band would be up there and they would ask me, hey, well, you want to come up and jam? I would go like, no, fuck no. I would have no idea how to do that. But, for some reason, the whole film thing from the onset was something that I really kind of understood and could, I decoded that immediately and understood all the parameters of it. So music became a part of the journey. These images and visual storytelling became part of the journey. And at some point you end up where you end up, and that's what makes you who you are. I mean, do I wish I was, I don't know, more of that guy or that person as a director? Maybe, but what are you going to do? I am what I am, and I'm just going to have to sort of deal with that.
No, I'm pretty happy that you are who you are. Like I said, and really, I wasn't joking when I say, so many of your videos, and it can't change me. That fire is, pardon the expression, burned in my memory forever. Just how
That's incredible. I
beautiful
love
it
I like
carried on
that video
everyone.
myself. I really like that video myself, actually. I had a really good time doing that. And I remember particularly when I was doing there was some journalists there covering from somewhere, and they came up to me and said, like, this seems to be a very ambitious video, is it? And I remember literally thinking, like, what do you mean? I mean, everything we do is with full ambition. Are you suggesting that you can do a music video and not be ambitious about it? I don't even understand what you're saying. But again, I've always been like that. That video, we made it tremendously difficult for ourselves in terms of, trying to capture how to do that. And it was shot in, and so, and then a lot of rounds in order to, because it's real fire, but you have, blah, 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 blah. But I really like that video also. It's very me in some weird way, even though it's also very much a 90s video. But when I see that, I have kids, so every now and then I show them some old video, and I see that video and I go like, yeah, I can now, 25 years later, see that this is very much me who's done this video. There's every aspect of what I can love, and the feelings I like to sort of evoke are is in this video. So yeah, I'm very happy you liked that one, and so did I. And it's, very the tragedy, that's just this thing that keeps happening with me and my kids also. Like, I played him a music video, and then I go, oh, this guy is great, and then I go, yeah, and he's also dead,
He's gone. Yeah.
And a number of things I've done that they die people, so my kids kind of are under this impression that all these music people, they die really young,
Yeah.
before they're done. Oh, anyways.
Beautiful videos and beautiful, beautiful movie with Spaceman. I mean that I love this movie so, so much. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk about
Wow,
it, man.
Kyle, thank you so much. It was a real pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much.
My thanks to Johan. Spaceman is out now on Netflix. Thanks to you, of course, for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button before you get out of here. You'll get three interviews just like this one every single week. New one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or again, anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And don't forget to give the series a rating, leave a review if you feel so inspired as well.
After that, head over to WFPK.org. That's Radio Shows, Monday through Friday. It starts at 6 p.m. Eastern every weekday. You get 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music. There's bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. One of my recent shows featured classics from Country Joe and the Fish, The Beatles, Gil Scott Heron, Alejandro Escovedo, Broadcast, The Bengals, Blondie, The Donnas, Houndmouth, The Moss, Fatboy Slam, Pixies, Tom Waits, Tori Amos, Liana LaHavas, Cage the Elephant, Pearl Jam, The Police, R.E.M., The Beaches, Paramore, Vampire Weekend, Patti Griffin, Madonna, Margaret Glaspie, and my interview with The Cranberries. Again, just an example of what you get every weeknight starting at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the old social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. So I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith, and I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.